at the end of the last class on number 12 on church history of the Bible. We've got up to the point in church history where Moses gave the law, and the law had become a god to the nation of Israel. It should have pointed them to Jesus to come. And we're going to go and look at that. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, for a moment. The Bible should have led Israel to Jesus. 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Now, Marilyn asked the question, when was the New Testament written? Paul, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, James, Jude, all of these lived here in a period of time just before the cross and right after. Now, the church, the New Testament Bible was written in the first 100 years after Jesus died, the first 100 years. So all the New Testament is written right here just within 100 years of Christ's death. Now, the Old Testament, the oldest book in the Old Testament is what book? The book of Job, okay? But then we have Moses, and Moses wrote in the period of time after the Egyptian bondage, God revealed to Moses the first 5 books of the Bible, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Now, in the book of Genesis, it tells the beginning of all things, how God created the earth and all of that. And God revealed to Moses the very lineage from Adam on down. He wrote all of that all the way down to himself, the lineage. So we have this lineage. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the first few verses here, it said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel." Now, the gospel, I remember when I came to Fish Lake Valley and started preaching here in Fish Lake Valley, it was a very young church, and nobody in the church, not even the pastor, could tell you what the gospel was. It took me almost a year to beat this into their heads. What it says right here. I'd ask, what is the gospel? And they say, the Bible. The good news. I said, what is the gospel? The good news, the Bible. This is, so the Bible is there like that. I said, that's not the gospel. Whoa! And they get all mad. And anyway, I said, let's read what the gospel is. And I'd read this every week for a long time till they got it. You know, until they get it, they don't have it. Simple as that, do they? Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which I also receive in which you stand. The gospel is very important. And now let's find out what the gospel is. By which you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preach to you, unless you believe the name. And he's talking about the Jews. The Jews, some of the Jews came and believed in Jesus, but they tried to go back to the law. You got Judaizers today in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They go back and they want to observe the Sabbath. They want to observe all of the food laws and everything in the Old Testament. Paul tells us that even the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. He said, eat whatever you want to eat and give him thanks to God. Period. Just do that. Simple, isn't it? He says, which you believed, for I delivered to you as of first importance that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins. That's the gospel. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Old Testament tells us that Jesus is going to die for our sins. But in Genesis, the third chapter and verse number 15, we have the first promise of the Messiah in the Bible. after man had sinned and the old devil had empowered Satan, animals communicated with man at that time. Animals were not food. They were companions. And evidently, the king of all the beasts was the Nahash, the serpent. And snakes are really pretty. They're pretty. I mean, they give a lot of people the creeps, and I have probably killed more rattlesnakes than anybody in this country. I just about depopulated them. We're not plagued with them so much now. I probably killed 1,000 or more. Anyway, snakes, some are dangerous. The black mambas, the cobras, and things like that, you know, the rattlesnakes. The Mojave greens are a rattlesnake that's very, very poison. Very poison. And anyway, when Lucifer, which became Satan and the devil, God put man in the garden, and he said, "You protect the garden." Protect the garden from what? From Lucifer and his satanic influences. Now, Satan was going to try to get to man and woman. Now, the man knew directly. Man is responsible for his family. The man is responsible for his family. Their spiritual and physical well-being, the man is responsible to do that. The Bible gives you that order. Order. That's order. Direct orders, okay? Satan tried to deceive the woman, which he did. And he talked to her. Animals communicated with mankind at that time. I can't find out that the woman speaking to the serpent had anything. She didn't run from the serpent when he started talking to her. But in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, it says how that the serpent deceived the woman. But when we come to the 15th verse of the 3rd chapter, God, Jehovah, is speaking to the serpent and Satan in the serpent, and he's speaking to the man and to the woman. And let's go back there for just a moment and look at that directly, okay? Genesis, the 3rd chapter. And read it and see what it says. Genesis, the 3rd chapter. Now the serpent, it says in the translation, was more crafty than any beast of the field, but in the Hebrew it says the serpent became. God didn't create the serpent crafty and deceitful, but the serpent became more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Indeed has God said that you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, she's talking to the serpent, the Nahash, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die, and stay away from it." It's verboten. It is forbidden. Now, a lot of people say the woman added to it. She said, "You not touch it." It was God's. They weren't supposed to touch it. They weren't supposed to eat from it. They weren't supposed to mess with it all. It's God's property. One thing in the garden they couldn't have, and that's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die." No, God's lying to you. He's calling God a liar. "For God knows in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be like gods," gods, "knowing good and evil." And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit. What she did here, she took from it, and she kept on eating, in the Hebrew, while consecutive and perfect. She kept on doing this. She didn't bite one bite out of an apple or one bite out of a leaf or a limb. You know, some trees and plants are very good. Even the stems of them. How about cinnamon? Things like that. Evidently, this tree tasted real good. And she kept on eating from it. And she gave to her husband, and he kept on eating from the tree. They just ate and ate and ate. This is the first sin of gluttony. They just ate and ate and ate and ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they had become naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves loin coverings, aprons, so to speak. Now they were naked. God's glory clothed them before. They were clothed with the glory and innocence of God, and now they have become naked. Verse number 8, and said, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim. This is Jesus in his pre-incarnate form. And they hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the other tree was no longer there. They ate it. Then the Lord God called the man. He said, Adam, where are you? Now, God knew where he was. But this question here, this interrogation, is for Adam to admit that he, where he is and what he's done. And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I had become naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you were naked? Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, the woman which you gave me, now this is blame shifting. Not my fault. It's your fault, Jehovah. It's your fault. That woman that you gave to me, she gave to me and I kept on eating. She kept on giving and I kept on eating. Then the Lord God said, the woman. Now God's talking to the man, now he's talking to the woman. Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, the serpent made me do it. The devil made me do it. Does that sound like Cliff Wilson? The devil made me do it. He deceived me and I ate. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, and 1 Timothy 2 and 4, it relates this in the New Testament. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, saying, curse you above all the cattle, and more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall walk, and in dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And by the way, this happened way back in here in Genesis. And that serpent's going to be cursed because he's still not going to walk, he's going to crawl. Even during the millennium. That's a long way, long time. Verse number 15, one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. And I will put active hatred. Now God's talking to Satan, and the woman and man are listening in. And I will put active hatred between you and the woman, and between your seed, Satan's seed is going to have a child. Did you know that? Satan's going to have some babies. That's what it says. Between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you as to the head. He shall be dealing a death-dealing blow to you. And you shall bruise him as to the heel. You will have a crippling blow to him. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. And in pain you shall bring forth children. And yet your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And women have had trouble with that ever since, haven't they? Haven't they? Then Adam, he said, because you have done and listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from this tree, cursed is ground. We got tumbleweeds out here. Down there in Old River, we got every kind of a weed you can think of. We've got sand birds, which are horrible. They're like these coronaviruses. They stick. They got little barbs all around. They're a round ball, and they just stick to everything. Had a boy come out there one day. He was not much. He was allergic to work anyway. He was going to come out and work on the farm, and we were going to pay him a little bit of money. He went out there. He came back and come on in the house, and he's sitting there with tears in his eyes, and look, look. You remember that? sandburrs had to get all and had gotten all in his shoes and his socks and his clothes, and you can't hardly get them off. That's a curse. And the goat heads, you step on one of them and it'll flatten the tire on a bicycle.
I can name a few more.
Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat from it, and all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles, you shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. Still, they didn't have any food, no meat to eat, still, not here. And by the sweat of your nostrils is what it says. You're going to be bent over, and sweat is going to be coming off your nose. And you shall eat bread, lehem, till you go to the earth, till you turn to dirt. Now, in Genesis, the fourth chapter, this is we're right up here to the gospel now. We're up to the New Testament, and what did the Jews should know about these verses? Let's look at the woman. Now, God promised them that they're going to have a Savior. And so the man and the woman conceives, and she has multiple children in her womb, and then she brings forth the first child. And the first child she thinks is going to be the Messiah. And she tells us that. Now, there's a group of people out there today that believe that Satan had sex with Eve, and the first child that she had was Cain. That's baloney. And this scripture right here, by scripture you know everything, don't you? Scripture is the test of all this. Now, the man had relationship with his wife Eve. The man, it didn't say Satan did it. And she conceived, and she caught seed is what it says, and she kept seed. And she gave birth to Cain. Cain means what? Gotten. Gotten. Cain means gotten. And she said, I have gotten. Now it says a man child with the help of the Lord. That's not what it says in Hebrew. I have gotten a man, even et Jehovah. This is the Messiah. I brought forth a Messiah, and then you find out what he did. He killed his brother and slashed him. He was the first slasher. He was the first Cain the Ripper. He slashed and slashed and slashed and murdered his brother. Murdered his brother Abel. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And it'll mean more to you, maybe, I hope. I delivered to you first importance that also received that Christ died for our sins. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah promised to the woman. And that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And this is the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ came according to the scriptures. Genesis 3:15. It says in the book of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel. In Psalm 22, it tells about Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. Isaiah 53, it tells about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And it says, and he appeared to Cephas, that means Peter, and then to the 12, and after he had appeared to more than 500 brethren, that means that we have a resurrection. The Jehovah Witness says Jesus never raised from the dead, and the Muslims say Jesus never died on the cross of Calvary. And definitely wasn't raised. Something wrong with those religions, isn't there? This is the old, what we call revelation. And as it said, and to most of those that remain to this day, but some have died. And he appeared unto James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, as it were to one aborted, he appeared unto me. I am the least of all apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain in vain. But I labored even more than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God working through me. What is the gospel? The gospel is the promises of the Old Testament. Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, and many hundreds of Old Testament scriptures. Now, the Jews had been gone off into the Babylonian captivity. They came back. Israel, the 10 tribes of Israel, had gone off, and they were brought back from the Assyrian captivity, and they were in the land of Israel. And Jesus comes on the scene. In the book of Matthew, let's look at the book of Matthew for just a moment. Matthew is the first book that we have in the New Testament. Probably Mark was the first one written altogether. The book of Matthew. The book of Matthew was written by a Jew. And so it looks at Jesus as the King of Israel. And it starts off in a very... The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac, and then it goes all the way down here. Goes all the way down to verse number 17. And therefore all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. And from David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations. And from the deportation of Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child of the Holy Spirit. And it tells about that God visited her husband, Joseph. And being an upright man, he did not want to disgrace her, but desired to put her away, divorce her. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit of God. This is the promise of Genesis 3:15. Okay? Now we have, all the way from Matthew through Revelation, we have the Hekinah Deitheke, the new covenant, or the New Testament. And she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all of this took place, that it was spoken by the Lord to the prophet, might be fulfilled, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. El on the end of that is God. And it means God is dwelling with us. God with us.
God is what?
God with us.
God is with us.
Yeah. Which translated mean God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took her to his wife, and he kept her a virgin. He did not cohabit with her until after she gave birth. And they had this child, and they called his name Jehovah Saves, Jesus, Yahshua. His name actually was Joshua, or Yahshua. In the Greek language, it's Jesus, Jesus. It talks about all the things that Jesus was the king. Matthew and Mark looks at Jesus as the servant. And he talks about that. And then Luke tells us Jesus was actually man and God. And then John tells us that Jesus was Jehovah of the Old Testament, and yet he was in flesh. John 1:14, Marilyn, in Greek. Kai Hologos talks again, and the Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became, and dwelt among us. It would behold the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The message of the New Testament Bible, and the New Testament goes from there to the book of Revelation. And all of that was written in the first 100 years after Jesus died. And the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. In the, I'm going to read something to you from the Old Testament. In Psalm 22 and verse 1. Now, Psalm 22, when Jesus on the cross was on the cross of Calvary, he quoted this whole psalm. He quoted the psalm to them that were around him. And remember, the Jews were there, and they should have believed what he said. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, that's what he said. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groanings. O my God, I cry by day, but thou did not answer. And by night, and I have no rest, yet you are holy. You are enthroned upon praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you did deliver them. To thee I cry out, and were delivered. And in you they trusted, and were not disappointed. But I am a worm. Jesus said, I'm a worm. I'm a worm. The word worm there is a worm that they use to dye red. He said, I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All who see me sneer at me. And that's exactly what they were doing on the cross of Calvary. Sneering and spitting on him. And they separate the lip and they wag the head saying, commit yourself to the Lord, let him deliver him. And that's what they said up there. If he's the Son of God, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him because he delights in him. These are the very things that happened on the cross of Calvary, aren't they? And this is written almost 1,000 years before. Yet you are he who did bring me forth from my mother's womb. You did bring me up to trust when I was upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast forth from birth. You've been my God from my mother's womb. Be not far from me, my trouble is near, for there is none here to help. I'm poured out like water, he said. All my bones are out of joint on the cross of Calvary. Crucifixion hadn't even been invented when this book was written. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you'll lay me in the dust of the dead. For dogs have surrounded me, Gentiles have surrounded me, and a band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet, and crucifixion wasn't even invented yet. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones, and they look and stare at me. And they divide my garments among them, and they cast lots for my clothing. And that's what the Roman soldiers did right at the foot of the cross. This happened to Jesus just exactly like the Bible says. And we have all of this recorded. Almost 1,000 years before he went to the cross, before there was ever crucifixion. And then in the New Testament, in the first 100 years, we have the four Gospels and all the other letters written to the New Testament to how that we should behave in the house of God. And what should we believe? What shall we believe? You know that woman there in John, the third chapter, fourth chapter, there, that one came out that was what we might call a woman of unusual traits. She was a hussy. Now, the Jews have said that a man could not talk to his wife in public because that was indecent. So Jesus' disciples go off to get the food, and he's sitting there by the well, Jacob's well, and here comes this woman. And she draws water, and he said, can I have a drink? He said, you being a Jew, and you ask me, a Samaritan, to give you a drink? Why, the Jews wouldn't let me touch their food. And Jesus said, if only you knew who I was, you'd ask that I give you water to live, to drink, water that you'd never have to draw again. And she said, tell me about this. You must be a prophet of God. You must be a prophet of God. Should we worship here on Mount Gerizim, or should we go to Jerusalem? See, her people there were worshiping God on Mount Gerizim, and they only studied the five books of Moses, not all the prophets or anything. And she wanted to know, what am I supposed to do? Should I go here to worship God, or shall I go into Jerusalem and worship God? And he says, you know what? You don't know anything about anything here. These people went away from God. He said, we, the Jews of Jerusalem, know the truth. But he said, and she said, you must be a prophet. We're looking for the Messiah to come. And Jesus didn't mention any words. He said, I am he. I am the Messiah. And he said, go get your husband. Well, she said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus looked at her and he said, the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Somebody else's husband. And she just started breaking down. And she took off in the town. And she went to town and said, come and see a man that told me everything about myself. He's the prophet of God. He is the Messiah. And people just poured out to him. And then when his disciples came back, when the church came back, there with Jerusalem, they looked at him. You've been talking to a woman? A woman of disrespectful woman? You know, it's not the vessel we walk around in that Jesus is interested in. It's our soul and our heart. Like that woman that was a castaway, Jesus says, I am he. If you're out there and don't know Jesus Christ, you can have the Lord. The Word of God leads you to the gospel and to Jesus Christ. Our Father, we send this message out and honor you and honor your Son. Please forgive me where I failed you and use your word all over the world.